How long do you have to believe to be saved? If Jesus died for everyone, doesn't that lead to universalism? Can homosexuals and transsexuals go to heaven? These questions and more on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're currently doing frequently asked questions. And believe it or not, the questions that I just mentioned are ones that come up quite a lot. So, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to discuss the answers to these questions and more. Let's go right to them. This is Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to Grace in Focus, and we are going through our frequently asked questions. These are questions that, you know, in ministry, you get asked the same questions over and over and over again.
Right, and of course, we're a ministry that specializes in dealing with issues related to eternal security and assurance and faith and also eternal rewards and these sorts of issues. And so we're going to find a lot of questions that deal with those sorts of things.
And it's really a person by person. Every individual needs to hear these things and come to grips with these doctrines. And you typically don't hear about it in church or even in the books that you'll find in a typical Christian bookstore. It's really discipling and teaching one person at a time often. And so we get these same questions asked a lot. And we thought, okay, this would be kind of a good resource to record these frequently asked questions so that people can listen on their own. Here's the next question. The question is, how long do you have to believe to be saved?
That's a terrific question. Actually, they've done lots of studies, and they found that it's 27 years and 6 months.
Well, I thought John 25, verse 4, says it has to be at least 6 months.
I don't think there's 25 chapters in the Gospel.
Oh, you're right. You're right. That's not in the Bible, is it?
No. I don't think you can come up with some sort of length of time. In fact, in the parable of the four soils, we're told in Luke chapter 8 and verse 12 that Satan snatches away the seed lest they should believe and be saved. So the people in the first soil, called the wayside soil or the path on the way, those are the people where they do not believe. But the second soil believe for a time, and in time of temptation fall away, Luke 8:13. Well, obviously, at least I say it's obvious, it's not to many commentators. Obviously, that person believes and is saved, because verse 12 says, lest they should believe and be saved. So what we know is that Satan believes in the doctrine of eternal security, right? He knows that's true.
Right.
And so he snatches away seed before people can believe and be saved once and for all. Well, the second soil believe for a time and then fall away. Well, what that verse is teaching is that it's possible for a believer to fall. Mm-hmm. But once he believes, he's secure. And the reason it says for a time, and it doesn't say 27 years, 6 months, or it doesn't say 3 years, or 3 hours, or 3 months. The reason it leaves it vague is because apostasy can occur at various points in a person's Christian life.
Right.
It could occur early, but a person might be a believer and walk with Christ for decades and then fall away.
Right.
And so the truth is the Lord is covering all these types of things.
Right.
Actually, Calvin came up with a view called temporary faith. And many Calvinists say, if your faith ever stops, you prove you didn't have real faith, because right, real faith perseveres.
Right.
Well, no. Faith is faith. Whether you believe in Jesus for an hour or a lifetime, you're born again. I gave the illustration before of someone who believes in Christ and then dies shortly after believing in Christ. Everybody would say, well, that person is going to be with the Lord forever. And you'd say, but what if they died 5 years after coming to faith in Christ? Well, of course, they'd still go to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to live 50 years after you come to faith.
Right.
Well, what if it was 10 years? No problem. But what if they fell away during that time? Oh, well, then they wouldn't go. So wouldn't it have been better for them to have died while they were still believing? And so in that view, it's just kind of you're unlucky that you live that long.
Right.
You would have been best
right,
to die at the moment of faith.
So the short answer is you're born again the second that you believe. That's all you need in terms of length of belief. You just need a second, less than a second, hundredth of a second, a thousandth of a second, whatever it is. You just need a moment of faith, and you're born again, and you're secure at that moment.
Okay, let's look at it this way. Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. John 6:47.
Yeah.
So we're talking to someone and we ask them, do you believe in Jesus? If they say yes, then we would ask them, okay, look at John 6:47. He who believes in me has everlasting life. You say you believe in Jesus, right?
Right. Right.
So what do you have? I don't know. Well, what does Jesus say? Well, he says that if I believe in him, I have everlasting life. Yeah. But, you know, I know I believe in him in some sense, but I don't know I really believe in him. Well, is that what Jesus says? No. He just says he who believes me has everlasting. You say you believe in him, you have everlasting life. But you say you don't know if you have everlasting life, so you really don't believe this is true, do you? They have to ultimately come to grips with the fact that if this is true, then if I believe in Jesus, I have everlasting life. And I'm never going to perish. I'm never going to hunger. I'm never going to thirst. I'm never going to die. I'm not going to come into judgment, John 5:24. I've already passed from death into life. The key is for people to realize that at the very moment of faith, a person, present tense, has everlasting life.
That's right.
And it's not, oh, I have to believe for so many years or so many months, whatever. And so that's just a level of confusion that's common in Christianity.
That's right. So how long do you have to believe to be saved? Just takes a moment, just a second. Next question. If Jesus died for everyone, doesn't that lead to universalism?
This is another one that's easy to answer. No.
No.
Now, why, Sean?
But a lot of people get confused about that because they think it would, because they think all the benefits of the cross come as a package. So if you get one benefit, you must get all of them. And I've read people say, if John, like John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and they'll say, see, he takes away the sins of the world. That means the world gets eternal life. And that means the world gets justification. And so that means everyone gets saved. So that's how some universalists argue. And a Calvinist, by contrast, will look at that and say, well, you know, since taking away the sins of the world means you also get eternal life, and we know that universalism is not true, then world must not mean world. World must mean something more like just the elect.
Right. That's what a Calvinist will say.
And then an Arminian will look at that verse and say, well, we know that if you get your sins taken away, you also get eternal life. But we also know universalism isn't true. So what this verse must mean is, behold the Lamb of God who potentially takes away the sins of the world.
And or so, he takes it away for as long as you're faithful. But then he can put your sins back on you and you can lose everlasting life.
And so the answer to that question, I think, and we've discussed this before, is you have to just distinguish between the benefits. Yes, Jesus takes away the sins of the world, but he only gives eternal life to believers, John 3:16.
Right. Taking away the sin of the world doesn't mean he forgives the sins of the world. It means he removes sin as a barrier to us being born again. And now the only thing we need to do to be born again is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's not a matter of cleaning up our lives, turning from our sins, promising to be good, promising to serve him. It's just a matter of believing in him. However, the forgiveness of sins doesn't come until we believe, and even that is a positional forgiveness. In order to have fellowship forgiveness, 1 John 1:9 says we must confess our sins in order to have ongoing fellowship with God, ongoing fellowship forgiveness. And so what we need to realize, like you said at the beginning, is the atonement is a series of benefits, some of which the unbeliever gets, and that would be the sin barrier is removed as far as a barrier from salvation. Not the consequences of sin, by the way.
Yeah.
Because even the believer, if I sin, I reap the consequences. Mm-hmm. But the sin barrier has been taken away. Also, of course, the unbeliever has access to pray to God because the veil has been torn.
Mm-hmm.
I have an article on this called
Benefits of the Cross.
Benefits of Christ's death and unrestricted.
Restricted.
And you can see it at faithalone.org.
Okay. This is a controversial question. Can homosexuals and transsexuals go to heaven?
See, to me, there's nothing controversial about that.
That should be an easy one, right?
Absolutely. And what they mean, of course, is can homosexuals and transsexuals go to heaven just as they are? In other words, if a homosexual doesn't turn away from their homosexuality and they remain a homosexual the rest of their lives, can they still go to be with the Lord if they believe in Jesus?
Uh-huh.
The answer is absolutely.
Yes.
It'd be like saying, can a jealous person who doesn't stop being jealous keep everlasting life? Sure. Can a covetous person who doesn't resolve that problem still have everlasting life? Sure.
Justification is by faith apart from works. The only type of people who get saved are sinners. And it doesn't really matter what kind of sinner you are.
Right. Paul says that he justifies the ungodly.
Right.
He doesn't justify the godly.
But now people are going to ask, but what about those passages that say, you know, such and such a person will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Those inheriting the kingdom passages refer to ruling with Christ in the life to come. That'd be Galatians 5:19-21, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, and Ephesians 5:5-7. And all three of them are talking about ruling with Christ in the life to come, not getting into the kingdom.
Well, see, yeah, so I always say, well, read that passage. Like they'll say, but Paul said in 1 Corinthians that homosexuals won't go to heaven when they die. And I say, that's not what he says there. He says they will not, all these people, fornicators and idolaters, adulterers and thieves and people who are covetous. Have you ever wanted your neighbor's car or your neighbor's house, your neighbor's pool? Drunkards, revilers, extortioners. He doesn't say they won't get into heaven. He says they will not inherit the kingdom. So it's inheritance. That's a rewards concept.
There's an article on our website that I wrote called Believers Who Lose Their Legacy, and it's on the Galatians version of this, Galatians 5:19-21. It's about a 20-page paper, and it develops this fully. And for example, in Galatians 5:19-21, did you know envy is one of the things on the vice list?
Man, yeah.
So if you have a person who's envious of others and they die before they overcome that sin, does that mean they can't go to be with the Lord? Wouldn't that be what that means?
Right.
And it also mentions jealousies or outbursts of wrath.
Oh, man.
I grew up in an alcoholic family, and there were a lot of outbursts of wrath, and I've had a lot of outbursts of wrath in my own life, and God has worked in my life, but still I'm not pleased that I still get angry, and sometimes I have outbursts.
But the issue is inheritance. It's a rewards issue. It's not an eternal salvation.
Right.
Issue.
And also all these things ultimately are not looking at, okay, you have a person who commits a sin. Ultimately, yes, the homosexual, the transsexual, and by the way, the same would apply, would it not, to the person involved in premarital sex? The
Absolutely.
Heterosexual is involved in premarital sex?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the adulterer?
Yeah.
Any of these things. And so ultimately, if we're saying sinners can't be born again just as they are, then what we're saying is nobody can be born again.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to those frequently asked questions. And you can listen to past shows at our website or on iTunes or Stitcher and different other places. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On the Friday edition, tomorrow, we're going to talk about working out. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.